noticed Pastor Kevin is not here this morning. We got rid of him. We sent him off with our blessing to hang out with his wife as she had a conference in Florida. And so he's over in the Sunshine State living it up. We're over here in the humidity and the heat. Well, he is too, though. It's still Florida. So we just hope that he's having a good, relaxing time over there, getting some well-needed time away. And so he asked me, the third string, because Isaiah is now second string, I'm third string, to come in and fill in. What he didn't realize was that I take advantage of every time that he's not here, I get to have fun with y'all. So this morning's message is going to be just a little bit different probably than what you're used to from Pastor Kevin. It's going to take some audience participation today, okay? All right, so if I ask you to do something, you're going to do it, right? All right, good, good, good. Fantastic. Don't let me forget, we've got a couple of things I want to remind you of. Let me do it right now. I forgot to do the announcement. See, Pastor Kevin's not here. I get thrown off. So a couple of things. Staff meeting is next Sunday at July the 5th. On July the 8th, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, we're going to have a July fellowship. We do it every year on July. We get together and eat some hamburgers and hot dogs. So that's not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday on July the 8th. Bring your lawn chairs, bring some drinks. We get to hang out outside. That would be a lot of fun. And then we got a really important thing this week. If you have some time off, or maybe you're retired, or you don't have to go to work on Tuesday or Thursday, I believe those are the 2 days, we're going to head as a group over to Plochyville, and we're going to help some neighbors gut out their houses. That big flood that came through, they need some help. And so we're going to send our mission team over on Tuesday and Thursday, I believe. But what I need you to do is get with Miss Erica Ardwin, who usually plays the piano for us. Get with her and let her know if you can come or not. And she'll give you all the details on that. All right. Earworms. That's disgusting, isn't it? When you think of the term earworm, what do you think of? A little worm, a parasite going in your ear, right? But that's not really what an earworm is. Earworms, and I did my due diligence, I went and looked it up. An earworm is what they call an involuntary musical imagery. Or it's something that we call a sticky piece of music. Or a stuck song syndrome. And listen, I grew up down the road in Bond community. Let me just put it in Bondese for you. It's a song that you can't get out of your head. That's what an earworm is. An earworm is a song that you just cannot get out of your head. It's that music that you just hum and you don't even know why you're humming it. Have you ever heard a song and it just kind of gets stuck? And you're just like, do, 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 do. And it's in your mind for a long time. You're like, why am I even thinking of this song at this moment? Listen, there are some songs that get stuck in our head. So this is the audience participation part. I'm going to sing part of a song, and then I'm going to stop, and I want you to finish it for me, okay? I'm going to try to hit different generations here. We've got some songs that come on the radio, and I've got some television commercials that probably you'll know immediately off the top of your head. And I apologize ahead of time if these things get stuck in your brain for the rest of the day. All right, so some of our younger folk, this was a song that came out a few years ago, but you'll know this one. It goes like this. Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy, but here's my number. There you go. Perfect. Excellent. So Call Me Maybe. Yeah, that song was the number one, voted the number one earworm in the past 10 years. That one just came and it's going to be stuck in your head. So Call Me Maybe. You're going to be doing that all day long. How about this one? Rick Astley put this one out. Never Gonna Give You Up. That's what I'm talking about. See? Yeah, you knew it before we even had to sing the lesser part. Yeah. That's called being Rickrolled. Has anybody ever been Rickrolled before? If you don't know what that is, look it up. I had a student who put together this 3-page paper, and she had written in code all of this stuff about this organization. And I was like, this is a unique paper. Like, I had never seen anything like it before. For you guys who are new to me, I'm Pastor Brian. Maybe I haven't seen you before, but I'm Pastor Brian. I'm also a professor, so I get to teach communication classes. And this student it was great. And it was all about this organization. And at the bottom of her paper, she put, to learn more, click here. And so I clicked it, and Rick Astley's video popped up. And he started singing and dancing. That's what called Rick Roll is. Anyway, how about some commercials? The best part of waking up. That's right. So I knew my older folk would know this one. We coffee drinkers, right? That's from back in the Gap. Yeah, Folgers in your cup. It's going to be in your mind the rest of the day. How about this one? This is for the older folk like me. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Yeah, Alka-Seltzer. I love it. I love it. Yeah, you guys got this one. One more. One more. This should be for everybody. Give me a break. Give me a break. That's it. The Kit Kat bar. That's it. Yeah. So the advertising world knows that if they can get that in your head, that it becomes a kind of an earworm for you. And you'll remember it. Hopefully, you'll buy their product or you'll sing their song. You'll buy their album. I've had a couple of recent experiences with earworms, and let me tell you one that's personal. It's kind of embarrassing, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway, because that's what I do. And the second thing is going to be kind of the theme of the scripture we're going to jump into today. I got this little light of mine in my head one time, not long ago. Did you sing this song this way? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You know that one, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Well, the second verse goes, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Well, I didn't learn to sing it that way when I was a child. My pastor always told me when you say hide it under a bushel, you shout no. No, because you know what? We're not supposed to be ashamed of our faith, right? We're not going to hide it. We're going to proclaim it, right? Well, I was in front of the dryer at our house, and there were some clothes that had gotten done. And for whatever reason, I said, I'm just going to stand right here and fold these clothes. And this earworm of this little light of mine was in my head. And I got to that second verse, and this is what happened. I began to sing it in my head, and then I began to shout no out loud. I was just doing the laundry. No! And then I realized, how many times have I done this? Kim sticks her head in the laundry room. She's like, you okay? All she heard was, no, no. And I'm sitting here doing the laundry. I'm like, I hate laundry. No, just kidding. She's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I just realized I've been shouting no for the past 5 minutes. I wasn't singing the song. I was just saying no. Earworms are those things that kind of get in your head and get stuck. Well, when Pastor Kevin knew that this trip was coming up and he called me a couple weeks ago, he didn't realize that when he called me, I had an earworm in my ear. One of the things you need to know about me is that I'm a musical learner. Not only can I play and I sing a little bit, I also learn musically. So if I need to learn a piece of information, I got to sync it to like some music of some sort. So there's always music going on in my head. Always. You can ask my family. You can ask my students at school. Half the time, I'll just reply to you in a song. So if someone says something like this, Kim's like, she's like, hey, can you take the trash out? Well, I automatically have a song for that, right? It's not the best song in the world. I go, this looks like a job for me, so everybody follow me. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm like, I'm taking the trash out. I don't know why. The other day it was raining, and I said, Kim, I'll go get the car. I'll bring it up a little bit closer so you don't have to get as wet. She's like, oh, thank you so much. So I open the door. I'm no stranger to the rain. Like, it's just in my head. I'm like, okay, this is cool. And then I get in, and it's almost nighttime, and I go, I love a rainy night. I love a rain. It's just in my head. That's the way it works. Well, Pastor Kevin didn't know that I had one of those songs stuck in my head. And so I was like, Lord, I don't know why. You just called me. He just called me to preach this Sunday, and this is in my head. It's a song by 38 Special, and it's called Hold On Loosely. Does anybody know that song? Yeah, I haven't heard this song in probably 10 years, but it was in my head. Hold on loosely, don't ever let go. Let me tell you how it affects me. I walked around the house that day with that song in my brain, and everything I picked up, this, y'all gonna run me out of church. Everything I picked up, I would pick it up as loosely as I could to see if I could hold it or not. Now, y'all should just see. Like, I would pick this guitar pickup, and I would be like, hold on on, in my head, hold on, lose light. I'd pick up a cup and I'd say, how lightly can I touch it to carry it? Hold on, lose light. And I realized at that moment how silly I was. But number two, I also realized, you know what? That song's talking about a relationship, like a romantic relationship. Saying how, you know, you should hold on loosely, but don't let go, right? Don't smother the person that you're in love with. Let them have their own freedom. That's what that song's about. But I said, you know what? That's some biblical principles up in that song. So guess what? We're going to talk about holding on loosely today. We're going to see what the scriptures tell us about how we should live our lives. Now, if you're used to Pastor Kevin, he kind of goes verse by verse, and that's the right way to do it. But today, we're going to do it a little bit differently because we're going to talk about what it means to be, and I just want to be an encouragement to you. Because, y'all, this Christian life that we live is hard. It's not easy. And there's a natural response that you and I have when it comes to encountering conflicts in our life or things that we perceive as dangers. We have a certain reaction to it that is actually counterintuitive to what the scripture would tell us to do. And so we're going to look at some of those scriptures today. And number one, just be reminded about what it says. But number two, to also be encouraged. To be encouraged. And so I'm amazed how closely the lyrics of this silly song mirrors many biblical principles that we can find in the scripture, especially when it comes to relationships, when it comes to anxieties that we have in life, and especially to our relationship with our Heavenly Father. So let's talk about this idea of holding on to stuff tightly. Holding on to stuff tightly or holding on to stuff loosely. There's a big difference between the two of those. There's an illusion that comes about when we think about holding on to things in our life very tightly. Have you ever shaken the hand of someone who had this massive grip? I'm talking about you go to shake their hand and it takes your breath away. They just squeeze your hand so hard you're like, whoa. I bet you got somebody in mind. It was probably an uncle or somebody like that, right? You're thinking, oh my gosh, I remember when I would shake his hand as a kid, I'd almost leave in tears. You know what that would make you do? It'd make you never want to shake that person's hand again, right? You're like, oh my gosh, he's got a grip. He's got a grip on him. I remember I had an uncle like that, and when he would shake my hand, I didn't want to shake his hand. But my daddy was like, I taught you, boy, when you shake a man's hand. When you, I said, yes, sir. And I'd walk away, lip quivering a little bit. Like, I can't wait for next Christmas. I'm going to show him. I'm going to grow up. Next Christmas, he'd hurt me again, right? That's the way it happens. If you've ever had that happen, then you kind of understand this idea of how we tend to grip on the things that seem out of control in our life. The things that really we perceive as dangerous, we begin to grip on them very, very tightly. But Scripture warns us about something. Scripture warns us that trying to grip something too tight causes us to lose it almost without uncertainty. If we grip it too hard, we're probably going to lose it. And that's a very biblical principle. See, when we try to force an outcome, or we try to manipulate a situation or people, or sometimes if we try to hyper-control something or our circumstances, the only thing that we create is anxieties and friction. Holding on to something too tightly is not good, because sometimes, and I don't know why we do this, but it's like we equate the tighter our grip, the more safe we are. If I can just hold on, I can bring safety to this situation. Really, what happens is simply this. When we try to control our lives, when we try to do things on our own terms, we place trust in ourselves instead of where our trust should be placed. And our trust should be placed in God. And to be honest, man, that just gets exhausting. I mean, I'm testifying right now. Who can testify? I've done that before. I've tried to control situations. I've held on tightly to things, and I've made a mess of it. And not only did I make a mess of it, I was exhausted at the end of it. Like, there was no coming back from it almost. It just feels like I ruined everything. So the Bible says that we need to live life with an open hand, a loose grip on the things in our life. We're to hold an open hand, trusting God rather than trying to micromanage our lives. Has anybody ever had a micromanager in their life? A boss who looked over your shoulder, over everything you did, and tell you how bad it was, or you need to do it this way or this way? Man, that gets exhausting. Yeah, we don't like those kind of things. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Very familiar passage. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Y'all, when Brian leans on his own thoughts, his own understanding, look, I don't know nothing. But the Bible tells us this, trust in the Lord, not on your own understanding. And it says also, in all of your ways acknowledge him, or your Bible actually may say submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Matthew chapter 6, verse 27 also adds this little reminder to us. It says, who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Y'all, what I've learned is that worrying about stuff actually takes away from your quality of life. It'll actually physically wear you down. Your life can actually be shorter because of your worry. And so the Bible is absolutely clear on what we're supposed to be doing. See, Jesus right here in that book of Matthew, he connects our desire for control directly to our anxieties that we feel. When we grip our lives tightly and the things in our lives tightly, we're not displaying the strength that we think we are or the safety that we think we are. We're displaying a simple lack of trust. The Bible says, trust the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. So what does that look like for you and me? Well, are you trying to control the relationship in your life? Is there a relationship that you're gripping onto really tightly? You know, 1 Corinthians gives us the love chapter, right? Love is patient, love is kind. There's a statement in there that in the letter to the Corinthians says, love is not self-seeking. And you see, sometimes with our relationships that we have with other people, if we're trying to control it, if we're trying to grip it, if we're trying to hold on to it too tightly, that becomes not love. That insecurity in that relationship isn't love. What it becomes is actually possession. And that's not what the Bible tells us we should be doing. It says, trust God. Think about this. You've ever been in the shower, taken a shower before? I hope you've had a shower. Hopefully in the past couple days at least, right? Yeah. Have you ever been in the shower before and you grab that bar soap and it's all nice and slick? Next time you get in the shower, I challenge you to do something. Grip that thing as hard as you can. You know what's going to happen to that soap? It's going to fly out of the shower over the curtain, and if your spouse is in the bathroom, you're probably going to bonk them on the head, right? If you go into the shower, I want you to grip that soap as hard as you can. What's going to happen is that soap's going to fly out. You can't hold a bar of slippery soap tightly. You have to hold it gently, loosely, and hope you don't drop it, because I drop my bar soap just about all the time in the shower, but you got to hold it with that open hand. You're guaranteed to lose it if you grip it too tightly. Where are the areas of your life right now that if you were honest, you would just say, man, I'm gripping a hold of this way too tight? Is it your teenager's choices, parents? Trying to control them? Guilty. Is it your spouse's behavior, married folk? Is it your retirement accounts? Is it students, your school grades? Friend relationships? What areas in your life are you gripping on so tightly that you're kind of smothering it? You're trying to act in your own power to make these things successful. The Bible tells us clearly, hold it with an open hand. Trust the Lord with all of your heart. He will make your paths straight. He will fix it. Don't worry about tomorrow. He's got it under control. It says, open your hand. Hold it, but hold it loosely. Surrender it to him. But there's an opposite part of that, right? So if you grip onto something really tightly, there's the opposite happens too. And this happens when we get exhausted. It's this tension of letting go. Of gripping something so tightly and you trying to control it in your own strength and not submitting those things to the Lord, we get so exhausted that we're tempted to just let it go. I'm done with this. I don't want any more to do with that. When we say hold things loosely, it doesn't mean that we as believers need to give up. It doesn't mean to say, I'm done with this. I'm letting it go. I don't want any more to do with this. That's not what the scripture tells us to do either. In fact, the book of Galatians tells us this in chapter 6, verse 9. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Let me just remind you this. God demands excellence in our lives. He does. I didn't say perfection. He does demand perfection when our salvation is concerned, but Jesus took care of that, right? It ain't about me. Jesus' blood covers me. That's perfection for salvation. But listen, here's the deal. Jesus demands excellence in our life. He demands effort as Christians. This isn't a, where are my folk that just got baptized, right? It's not like you can just say, all right, I got baptized. Don't have to live for Jesus no more. I'm going to heaven. That's not the way this works. You just entered into a cool part of life where you're like, Lord, I'm surrendered to you. You tell me what to do. He demands effort. He not only demands effort and excellence, he demands deep commitments. So whether that's a deep commitment to your calling and excellence in your calling, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your relationships, whether it's in your job, he demands all of these things, but he has them held, he says, hold them loosely, submit them to me. Don't grip on to them so hard and don't wear yourself out. You're going to wear yourself out if you're gripping too hard and then you're going to want to just let it go. No, hold it to me with that loose hand and submit it to me and I'll take care of the details for you. Star was a huge horse that lived in a field right across the street from me. Star was one of those horses that when you see this horse, you're just impressed by it. He was massive. I'm talking about probably the biggest horse that I can remember seeing. This horse, when I stood up next to it, was about that tall on his back. And I remember it was time for me as a young man to learn how to ride a horse. Now, I grew up on a farm. We used to ride horses into the fields and get the cows and bring them back and all that kind of stuff. And my dad said, you know, we've had horses all along, but now you're a big old boy. He said, you can't ride a regular horse. And I was big. I've always been big, y'all. I think when I was in fourth grade, I got in trouble because I made a D on a test. And when the teacher, back in the day, they would spank you if you made bad grades. Can y'all imagine? She had to swing up to hit me in the rear end. That's how tall I was. I was way taller than she was. I was a big old boy. My dad said, I'm going to talk to our neighbor and see, because Star hadn't been ridden in a couple years. He was just kind of fat and having fun in the field. And went and talked to the neighbor. He's like, oh, yeah, y'all take him. We'll feed him. We'll keep up with him. Yeah, y'all take him. If I need him, I'll come get him. No big deal. I got on the back of Star, and I felt like I was riding in an 18-wheeler. I'm telling you, I felt like I was that high off the ground. It was fantastic. Star had some peculiarities, though. He was probably one of the fastest horses around. He was one of those retired, big, huge race horses, you know, that they can only run like a quarter of a mile at a time before they get really gassed and breathing for air. But boy, you'd have to hold on to that horse when he took off. And I remember riding that horse, and he had some peculiarities about him. The first thing that I knew is that if you pulled back on that horse's reins too tightly, he was going to buck you. He was going to throw a fit. Because can you imagine as a human having a piece of metal stuck in the back of your mouth? You know, that bit that you put into a horse's mouth, it's back there and they handle it, but they can't be comfortable. Now imagine taking the reins and just, well, I think I'd buck around, you know, too. I'd try to get whoever was on my back off. But I also knew something else. If you just laid the reins down, Star did what he wanted to do. So it was like you would go down a trail and you'd be cool and you think, all right, I'm just going to let go. And I'd let go of the reins and just let them sit right there. Star would veer off in the ditch. He would just right there. It's like, what are you doing? You had to hold on to those reins. But here's the tension, right? When you're riding a horse, you can't pull back hard. They're gonna rebel. They're gonna buck. You're trying to control them, and you're doing the best you can, and that horse is, I don't want to do this. But if you let that horse have all the reins, they end up in a ditch somewhere, some place that they don't need to be doing. So there's a tension when you ride a horse, right? You got to grab those reins, and you have to hold on loosely. You got to hold on. You got to hold on. You let them do the work, and you guide them as they go. You see, sometimes we need to be reminded of this. Some of us today have checked out on situations in our life. Because what we've been doing, we've been trying to control this certain situation in our life for so long, and it hasn't worked, and we've exhausted ourselves, and we've thrown our hands up, we've checked out. It's not what the Bible tells us to do. Checked out parenting is not parenting. Checked out marriages, that's not much of a marriage. Checked out employment is not really employment. In fact, they can be just as destructive as holding on too tightly. Suffocating someone and just letting them go and having that way is just as destructive. You have to stay in the game. The Bible tells us, look, submit it to God. Trust in Him. Whatever that situation is. Don't suffocate it. Don't throw your hands up because you're exhausted because you've been trying to do it all along. No. Hold on loosely. Submit it to Him. See that loose grip that I'm trying to get you to realize we need to have today? There's some peace found there. There's peace found in that loose grip. Holy stewardship means this, that we're doing our part faithfully while leaving the ultimate outcome to a holy and sovereign God. You see, when God calls you to do some things, when He calls you to a life of Him being your Lord, you don't get to check out, you get to follow Him. And there's some effort that He expects on your part. Even though He's doing all the work, He needs you to provide effort as well. Now, don't get that messed up about our salvation. It ain't got nothing to do with you or how good we think we are, nothing like that. Salvation is only on the cross. That is the only thing, and through Him and by Him is the only reason that you and I can be saved. But a life of sanctification, a life of discipleship, means that you and I are going to stand up. We're going to be doing some things for Him. Proverbs, again, chapter 3, trust in the Lord. But Matthew 16, verse 25 says this, Matthew 16, 25. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will find it. Y'all, that's the core of our verses today. The core of our verses. There's a peace in living a life of the loose grip. Timothy backs it up too. He talks about finances in a lot of ways. Timothy tells us not to put hope in our wealth and the things that we accumulate. Instead, he says, those things are uncertain, but put our hope in God. So all the things in our life are going to be in our hand, and instead of controlling them with this tight grip, we hold loosely to them, submit them to the Lord. Swimming in the ocean is not one of my favorite things to do. I don't like the beach. Sand gets everywhere in places that I don't want to talk about. I cannot stand that gritty feeling in my toes. I live in a house with three women, actually four. Actually going to be how many? One, two, three, four, five, six. We just had twins. My daughter had twins. Outside of the twins, because I hadn't talked to them yet. They're only like a month old, you know. They all love the beach. So guess where, like, every other year Brian ends up on vacation? The mountains, because I'm not going to the beach. No, I'm just kidding. We go to the beach because they love the beach, but I can't stand it. And being in the ocean is one of the most scary things to me in the world. I don't like water to begin with. Swimming pools kind of make me dizzy, so I don't even get in those. But the idea of being in the ocean just kind of freaks me out a little bit. Especially when they have those red flags out and everybody's out in the ocean still. And you're like, that red flag means stop. What are y'all doing? There's some things that occur in the ocean that are scary to me, and it's called a riptide. And a riptide is one of those under the water currents that you don't see, you don't know about, but you hear reports of people all the time getting caught in a riptide that carries them out to the ocean. And a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times, it results in their death. Now, a lot of people who are experts, way smarter than me, and they look at the riptide situations, they've given some suggestions on how to get out of a riptide. And what's interesting is that our primal instinct and our initial thing that we jump into, if you were caught in a riptide, what would you do? You're going to panic? I would. And you're going to fight, right? This thing is carrying me out away from the safety of the shore. I'm going to do everything I can to tread water. I'm going to scream and holler for help. I'm going to flail my arms. I'm going to try to swim back to the shore. That's my initial reaction. I want to go back to where the safety is. What happens is that very quickly you exhaust yourself. The lactic acid begins to build up in your muscles, and all of a sudden you can't hardly move your arms anymore. You can't move your legs hardly anymore. And then you eventually begin to swallow water and then maybe not make it. The tight grip of panic, the tight grip of self-reliance is fatal in those moments. Here's what the lifeguards have to say. Lifeguards who are way smarter than me will tell you the only way to survive a riptide is simply this: to do something very counterintuitive to what you and I are wired for. We want to panic. We want to fight. They say, nope, if you get caught in a riptide, you need to do something called the dead man's float. Now, let me tell you something. If I'm caught in a riptide, don't tell me to do a dead man's float. Like, I don't want to die. That's the reason I want to fight. That's why it's so counterintuitive. Lifeguards will tell you this. They say it's called the back float, float on your back. They'll give you three steps. They say, number one, tilt your head back. Number two, stick your chest out. And number three, suck up as much oxygen in your lungs and just lay back. Lay back. Now what happens is you're not giving up. If you're caught in a riptide, those are the instructions to save yourself. You're not giving up. You're actually actively engaged and in keeping yourself and your neck above water. But at the exact same time, you have to relax your limbs and let the ocean carry you. Listen, you have to stop fighting the water, and you got to start trusting the current to carry you back. Many of us came into the auditorium today spiritually drowning in a way, because we have been frantically flailing against the currents of life. What we've been doing is we've been trying with this tight grip to save and fix our marriages. We've been trying with this tight grip to save our finances because I don't know how we're going to make it this month. We've been trying with all of our efforts to force open these doors by our sheer will. We need to stop spiritually flailing this morning. Listen, tilt your head back and look at him. Focus on him. Stick your chest out and say, Lord, it's all about you. It's not about me. And then what we're going to do is breathe in his goodness and trust him to take care of the things that are going on in your life. It takes active, intentional faith to relax in the middle of a storm. When you hold on loosely, what you're doing is doing your part to stay afloat, but you're trusting God's sovereignty to carry you through. So hold on loosely. Never let go. In conclusion, I want you to do something for me. I just wanted you to take your hand, open it up, and I want you to look at it. Open your hand right now, and I want you to look at it, and I want to see anything. I want you to picture it in your life. Whether it's your life, your family, stress, job, school, relationships, what have you been holding on to so tightly? Put it in there, and I want you to grip it. And I want you to take your hand and put it up, and then open it. And if you mean this, I want you to pray this prayer. God, it's yours. It's yours. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of struggling. Lord, I'm going to do my part, what you called me to do. But Lord, I can't do this on my own. I need you. Surrender it to him this morning. Let me tell you, when you do that, you're going to find a couple of things. The first thing you're going to find is that there's going to be some peace. Because he's fighting the battle for you. You don't have to fight it. The scripture tells us over and over, let him be the one who fights your battles for you. And number two, your faith is going to grow exponentially. People are going to notice some things in your life. Man, how are you going through that situation? I'm going through it because God is sustaining me. And the testimony goes to him. Well, tell me about this God that you got an open door to share the gospel. Listen, life ain't easy. If I was going to tell you, sit down with me. We got some stories we can swap, right? We got some things that we go through in life. What I find is when I grip it, I mess it up. Surrender it to him. Let him be Lord. Know that you got a church that's praying for you and with you. And we're done for this morning. I'm going to dismiss you in just a second after I pray. If you need some prayer or something like that, or want to talk about joining the church or whatever, I'll be here. Just come up and say, hey. But we're going to have small group time. I encourage you to get plugged in somewhere. If we can do anything for you this week, let us know. Let's pray together. Father, help us to do what your scriptures tell us, to trust in you, to hold on to the things in our life with a loose grip, knowing that they're all from you and that you're in control of everything. Lord, as we leave the auditorium today, there may be some who said, Lord, I do want you to take control of these situations. Here's what I know. There's a world out there that wants to pile right back on. My prayer is that when that happens, instead of us frantically flailing our spiritual arms and trying to tread water on our own, Lord, we'd look to you for our salvation. Lord, our help comes from you. Let us give those things to you. Lord, you desire to take those burdens from us and to work through us to see us become more sanctified and more like you. Or we got some needs in here. I'm praying that you meet every need that we have. Lord, if there's a financial deficit, Lord, I pray that some check comes in the mail that no one even suspected was coming. Lord, if there's relationships that need to be mended, Lord, that today, because we're holding on loosely, that Lord, we're convicted and maybe we need to sit down and simply say, I'm sorry. Lord, if there's some things that we're not giving our excellence to at all that we do, Lord, forgive us for that. Help us to let go and surrender it to you. We love you. Is there any way that you can use us this week? I know there is. So Lord, show us exactly what you have for us. Bless our small group time as we depart, and bring us back together on Wednesday. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, you're dismissed.